We call ourselves to worship on this grand day with Psalm 114. When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. Why is it, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back. O mountains, that you skip like rams. O hills, like lambs. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water. Let us pray. Glory to you, O Father. On this day you won victory over death, raising Jesus from the grave. Glory to you, O Son. For us and for our salvation, you opened the gate to everlasting life. Glory to you, O Holy Spirit, for you lead us into truth. Glory to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen. Let's sing. Please remain standing and let us confess before God and before one another our sin. The prayer is printed in your bulletin and on the screen. Let us pray. Almighty God, through the rising of your Son from the grave, you broke the power of death and condemned sin itself to die. Help us to confess what in our lives must die: destructive relationships, tired habits, greedy accumulation, the temptation to take the easy road. Forgive us, we pray. Resurrect in our lives the faith, hope, and love that Jesus offers. In his holy name we pray. Amen. I offer to you on this Easter day the good news of Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And in his work and in his grace, that saving is complete. Know that it is because of his work in your life and in this world that you are forgiven of your sin. And now he calls you to be people of peace. Amen. Let's sing to God's glory.
You may be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have two scripture passages for you this morning. The first comes from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning with verse 1. At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O virgin Israel. Again, you shall take your tambourines and go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall be a day when sentinels will call in the hill country of Ephraim, come, let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. This is the word of the Lord. And now the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. For he has been raised as he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So a few months ago, I was at a pastor's retreat for my other work at the University of the Ozarks, and we had a facilitator in the room with us, and she was going to give us an exercise. She'd given us a piece of construction paper. Hadn't really handled construction paper in about 45 years, but okay. And then a bunch of post-it notes, not the big ones, the little ones, you know, the little post-it notes. So she gives us the construction paper and the post-it notes, and she tells us to fold the construction paper in half. And then she tells us that we're gonna do an exercise about the pandemic. And I thought, great, you know, I have not spent enough time over these past 2.5, 3 years thinking about the pandemic. Let's go. So this is what she told us to do. She said, on those post-it notes, write everything that you are grieving since the start of the pandemic. Everything you've lost, everything you're sad about, every single grief you have, write it and then post it on the inside of your folded up paper. You have 10 minutes. And I'll tell you what, those 10 minutes went pretty fast. I had a lot of things that I needed to write down in this little exercise of things that I was sad about, things that I felt I had lost, things that I was missing from prior to the pandemic. Now listen, I know what you're thinking. You're like, Phil, it's Easter Sunday. Do we really need to do this? Yes, we do. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I thought about that exercise this week. And I thought about it specifically yesterday. Yesterday is Silent Saturday in the life of the church. Nothing happens on Saturday, but the story in the gospel is ongoing. And the story there, as we understand it, is that the disciples, after the crucifixion of Jesus, had huddled up together in a room someplace. They'd gotten themselves off the street, they had gathered together, and they were going to figure out maybe what to do next. After that whole week that had happened, from Palm Sunday all the way to the crucifixion, they had been through a lot, and I wondered what would have happened if they had done that exercise. What would have happened if they'd passed around the construction paper and the post-it notes? What would they have written down? If someone had said to them, you've got 10 minutes, guys. Write down your griefs, your sorrows, your sadnesses from the past week, from the past 3 years. Write them down. I bet it would have gone pretty fast. I bet they would have had a lot to write. I'm sure they had gone through a great many things. When we think of Easter Sunday and we think of the stories that lead up to it, we think about what happens to the disciples as well as to Jesus, and we think about the decisions that they make, and we think about them huddled in that room until the risen Christ comes before them. But that was not the path they had to choose. That was not their only option. They could have done something else. They didn't have to sit up in the room counting their losses, thinking about what they missed, reflecting on their grief, talking about the ways in which they may have felt as though they had been betrayed. They didn't have to sit up there and do that. There was another path. There was another way they could have gone. And we almost never talk about it. There's four gospels, right? You know the four gospels. What are they? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's four gospels. And they all have this story in them. Every single one has this story of Jesus' resurrection inside of it. Every single one. And you might be surprised to know this. Maybe you wouldn't, but they disagree on the details. They don't all sing the same song. Basically, they all tell you the same story, that Jesus rose again from the dead, that some people were there, that there were some guards maybe, the stone had been moved, how did it move? Maybe there was an angel, maybe there was a man, maybe there were two angels. They disagree, but they agree on one thing. They all agree on one thing. Mary Magdalene was at the tomb. Mary Magdalene was at the tomb. They all agree. Now, listen, set aside the stuff you think you know about Mary Magdalene. First of all, Mary Magdalene, not a prostitute. The church has been teaching that for years. It's a lie. It's not a fact. Set that aside. Also, have to say, not Jesus' wife. Dan Brown missed on that one. Not that. What was she? She was a de facto disciple. Every single gospel talks about Mary Magdalene, every single one. Sometimes earlier, sometimes later. You want to know the most about her, read Luke, but you will also find her in Matthew. And do you know where you find her? You find her in Holy Week. She saw the same stuff as the disciples. She saw exactly the same stuff. She was there on Palm Sunday. She saw the crowds throwing their coats before Jesus, throwing their palm branches down, yelling Hosanna. She was there. She was there at the temple when he railed against the money changers about how they were exploiting the faithful and flipped over their tables. She was there when he instituted the Last Supper. She was there when he was betrayed. She was there when he was taken into custody. She was there when he was flogged, when he was tormented. She was there when he was nailed upon the cross, and she was there at the foot of the cross. We know it is so because the Gospels tell us that. Mary saw the whole thing. She saw every single bit of it. Let me ask you this. If Mary had been there at the Garden of Gethsemane, do you think she would have fallen asleep? No. Jesus should have known when you want something done in the church, you ask a woman to do it and it will get done. We are not to be trusted. She saw the whole thing, everything they saw. And where was she? Where was she on the morning of the Sabbath? As dawn was breaking and Sabbath was concluding, as the disciples were hiding, where was Mary? She was at the tomb. Now, you know, we Christians, we like our words, right? We like our labels of how things ought to be. We like to talk about what a believer should do. So we use words, right? Like faith, belief. We use words like these to describe the way of life for Christians, but a word that we might think about using more of, a word that we really should consider more, is fidelity. Fidelity. Not a word we use very often. If you think about fidelity, what do you probably think about? You probably think about a bank. But that's not what we're talking about. Mary's story is about fidelity. What is fidelity? Fidelity is the place where our beliefs and our behaviors intersect. It is the spot where what we think and what we have faith in takes real life in how we live. It was fidelity that took her to the tomb. It was fidelity that led her to that spot on that morning. It was fidelity. At the beginning of the Good Friday service and the beginning of the Maundy Thursday service, we read the same passage from John, John 13:1. I don't have it memorized. This is a paraphrase. John writes, "Having loved his own in the world, Jesus loved them to the end." Fidelity. And what did she witness on the dawn of the day after the Sabbath, when the people who believed they had killed Jesus were celebrating their triumph, when the disciples were wondering if any of it was true, when the crowds had gone back to their lives, what did Mary see? She saw fidelity. She witnessed God's fidelity. It was a tough week for God, too, right? Had a good plan, sent a pretty good guy into the world. He did good stuff, taught good things. People seemed to like him. It was a pretty tough week for God. God had to sit back and watch as his only son was mocked, tormented, crucified, and killed. Do you think God got together with the angels in heaven and said, "Well, boys, that didn't work. Better pass around the post-it notes and the construction paper"? No. 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 It worked. It worked. That's what we're celebrating today. That's what we're marking today. That God has fidelity to his very being. That God, who proclaims to be he who saves, he who loves, he who reconciles, emptied the tomb, took victory away from death, and told us once more for all time on that Easter morning that God is faithful no matter what. This day proclaims God's fidelity. And do you know why we know about it? Do you know why there's a story for us to tell? Do you know why we know that the stone had been moved away and there was somebody there to greet people and that Jesus arose and that the angels said, "He who you're looking for is not here"? Do you know why we know that? Because of Mary's fidelity. It's fidelity. Like, what I noticed about the pandemic is a lot of stuff changed. And yet here we sit on Easter morning. Here we sit in the sanctuary with the flowers. The table is ready for you. The trumpets blared. The story was read. Here we sit. Think about all the things that have happened in the intervening 2,000 years between the day that Jesus rose again and this day today. Think about the empires that have risen and fallen. Think about the discoveries that have been made, the plagues that have fallen upon human beings. Think about all of the stories and all of the things that have happened in all of the days. Think about all of them. And yet, here we sit again on Easter Sunday. It has not changed. Every year, every spring, we gather together and we worship on this day. It is a testimony to who we are. So what's going to happen this coming year? What's going to happen in your life and in the lives of this world this coming year? I used to think I knew pretty well, but now I have no idea. What's going to happen to us? Over the coming year, we're going to have amazing and wondrous things happen to us, and we're going to have things that are difficult and desperately sad happen to us. And we're going to have all points in between. We're going to have days that are incredibly ordinary and days that are remarkable. We're going to have a whole new year with whole new experiences. But guess what? On March 31st, 2024, we will all be here again. Nothing will change it. Nothing. And if it's not us, it will be others. Because the story of the empty tomb, the story of Easter, is about who God is. The inevitability of grace, love, and reconciliation. And our lives, no matter what befalls us, will always, as long as we are drawing breath, lead us back here. And so next March, we'll get together and we'll stand right next to her, right next to Mary, early in the morning, on the day after the Sabbath, and we will testify once more to God's fidelity to us. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Amen.
We read in Luke's gospel that it was on the same evening of Easter day that disciples were walking on a road and they were met with a stranger. They did not recognize the stranger, we are told, until he broke bread. And once they saw him break the bread, they knew it was Jesus among them, that he was present in their midst. And so, as we come to this table, as we break the bread, he is among us. Jesus Christ is present here. He is the host of this meal. Let us pray. O God, you are holy and full of majesty, and blessed is your Son, Jesus, our Lord, whom you sent to save us. He came with healing in his touch and was wounded for our sins. He came with mercy in his voice and was mocked as one despised. He came with peace in his heart and met with violence and death. On this day, we celebrate that by your power, he broke free from the prison of the tomb. And at his command, the gates of hell were opened. The one who was dead now lives. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit on this day upon us and upon these gifts. May the bread we break and the cup we bless be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. And may he be present with us now. It is in your name we pray. Amen. We remember that it was earlier in this holiest of weeks that Jesus sat at a table with his disciples. He took bread from it. He thanked God for it. And before their eyes, he broke it. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then after they had eaten the meal, Jesus took a cup. He said, "This cup, it represents a new covenant. And this covenant is sealed in my blood. So take and drink. And when you do, remember me." And so, as often as we drink this cup and eat this bread, we do remember our Lord and we celebrate, for we know he comes again. This is the table of Jesus Christ, and all who love him are welcome here. Would the servers please come forward? Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for this meal. We give you thanks of what it points to, of the great banquet that awaits us in heaven. We offer our prayers to you this day for all those who need your active presence, for those around the world whom we will never meet, and for those whose names we know, whose situations are close to our hearts. In our own congregation, we pray for Greg, for Neil, for so many others. In the silence of this moment, Lord, we offer our prayers both aloud and in the quiet of our hearts for particular people and situations. Hear our prayers. We give you thanks for this sacred place, for this holy day, and for this community of faith. And it is in your name that we offer this prayer as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we do not pass offering baskets in the church. There is a basket at the front and at the entrances if you would like to give financially. But for now, this music, this worship is to the glory of God.
Thank you.
we give you thanks for this time of worship. We give you thanks for this holiest of days. We pray that this would be an offering acceptable to you, and that our very lives would be a living offering acceptable to you. It is in your holy name that we offer this prayer, and together we say, Amen. Before we leave this place, we affirm again who it is we are and what it is we believe. We use the ancient words of the Apostles' Creed. Please join me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Brief announcements, women's Bible study on Tuesday, no Bakery District class on Wednesday. And now, my friends, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The peace of Christ be with you.